Well, good afternoon, everybody. This is Barb Pello, and I'm a group director at InfoTrends, and I'm delighted to be your moderator for the webinar today, titled Wide Format Goes Cross Media, sponsored by Heidelberg EFI and Collins Inkjet. It's an exciting topic, and of equal excitement, we've got great speakers to share with you today what they're doing in terms of driving cross-media communication using large format signage. We're joined by Maureen Gumbert, and she's the marketing manager at KDM POP Solutions, Nick Jerome from Fast Signs International, and Val DiGiaceno, who's the president of Express Printing. Before we get started, what I do want to do is give you a couple of tips for enjoying the webinar. First of all, if you're having any technical difficulties, you can let us know by using the Q&A box, or you can troubleshoot by clicking the help widget below. If you've got questions for today's speakers, we'll be taking them throughout the course of the webinar. So just submit them. I'll be monitoring the Q&A tab, and as your questions come in, we'll ask them of our panelists. Make sure you've disabled pop-up blockers. And if you want to see what this console can do, click on the Tip for Attendees widget for a complete rundown. Now let's get into the content. I think we all know that thanks to the web, cell phones, and tools like QR codes, text messaging, and augmented reality, one of the oldest ad media forms is becoming interactive. What you're finding today is that marketers are spending billions on out-of-home advertising and point-of-purchase display. The big thing that we're seeing is that you can capture that consumer's attention and engage them with that signage right at the point of interest. And so what we'll be doing today is talking about how you can make large format an integral part of that cross-media mix. And you're going to hear from our panelists about strategies for getting consumers to interact with signage using their smartphones. You'll hear discussions on QR codes, texting, and augmented reality, and about the importance of delivering measurable results to the customers that you serve. Now, when you think about today's market, I tell everybody that there's tons of new media channels out there. Some of you look at them as a threat, but the real optimists are looking at those as new business opportunities. Think of the challenges that your customers are dealing with today. 57% of their customers use social media networks only to connect with friends and family. 22% think that social media offers help in terms of making good purchase decisions. That 18 to 44-year-old can't remember the last time their smartphone wasn't next to them. I will tell you that if you look around and you think about your life, I'm betting that half of you woke up this morning with your smartphone next to you and probably used it in terms of waking you up this morning. I know I did. Now, when you think about signage and graphics, FedEx Office did a survey, and they talked about the importance of that sign. And what they discovered was that 76% of consumers say that they've entered a store they've never visited before because of the power of signage. 68% of consumers surveyed have purchased a product or service because a sign caught their attention. Three out of four consumers have told somebody about a store based on a sign they saw. 68% of consumers believe that a store's signage reflects the quality of that company. And poor signage can deter somebody from entering. Now, signage, as we indicated, is an important part of the media mix. It's also, if you're a service provider, an important part of what should be your business model. In fact, our projections at InfoTrends are that wide format, just the retail value of the print, is going to grow at a 7.9% compound annual growth rate. But revenues grow even faster when you make that signage interactive. And what you'll hear about today are how these providers are working with their clients to do things like mobile barcodes, mobile messaging, near-field communications or NFC tags, and augmented reality. I like to give people just a couple of interesting examples. One of my favorites was Toys for Tots. And in the Christmas season, you need to look around and see if you can find some windows that look like this. But they've partnered with eBay. And what happens is they posted signage in store windows with QR codes so that I can point and click on a QR code on a gift that I'd like to provide to Toys for Tots. And then eBay actually will fulfill that specific gift. And then, of course, there's ordering groceries. One of my favorite examples happens to be Peapod. Peapod has put large format signage in transit shelters. And what happens is, as I'm waiting for my train to come by, what I can do is I can click on those items that I want delivered to my home for dinner that night using QR codes. And, oh, by the way, I don't need to worry about whether I can eat that night. The other one that I found very, very entertaining is that Tesco, which is a large European grocery chain, actually has large format signage with key components of key items in the refrigerator. And when you land at the airport, you can select those items you want delivered to your house so that when you get home, you don't have an empty fridge. Now, what we're seeing is that wide format buyers are linking print to digital. And what InfoTrends did is we actually surveyed 526 buyers of large format signage. And what we asked them was, have they ever used mobile technologies to combine wide format print products with digital media channels? Believe it or not, 43% of them have. That's a pretty significant number given the emergence of mobile technology. And what are they linking? They're linking things like banners, point of purchase displays, signage, a number of items in terms of what they want to link to their wide format media link in terms of mobile technology. And why are they doing it? Well, what they want to be able to do is they want to be able to add interactivity and make that traditional media a customer experience. They want to use it to boost sales. If I'm standing in front of the store, what I'd like to be able to do is entice that person to come into the store by letting him point and click on a sign that links to a coupon that causes them to take immediate action. And they're integrating it with social media. And what are they doing? Well, they're linking it to a number of things, ranging from their website to social media sites. And so what you're seeing is there's a drive, and in fact, several of your customers have in fact leveraged blending large format with signage. Now what I'm going to do is I am going to turn it over to Maureen, and Maureen's going to share with you a little bit about KDM and how they're actually building out and making large format part of the cross-media experience. Maureen, take it away.
Hi, thanks for including KDM today. We really appreciate it. First, I'll give you a company overview. Then I'll discuss three ways that we're blending print with technology for our customers. KDM provides innovative retail solutions. We are a family-owned company celebrating 43 years as a custom point-of-purchase solution provider. We have about 300 employees across four production facilities in the United States. Many of the nation's largest retailers and consumer brands across many industry segments in the retail industry are among our customers. We're in business to help them drive traffic, build brand awareness, and win at the register. We also work indirectly with many agencies, brokers, and other printing companies. As mentioned, we do have multiple locations with diverse capabilities. We're headquartered in Cincinnati, Ohio. We have additional production facilities in Cincinnati and Nashville and also in Atlanta. Our print solutions. Our custom point-of-purchase print solutions include seven printing methods and 30 presses to produce our entire campaign in one place. We provide screen printing up to five colors in line. We provide large format UV offset up to 44 by 64. We do conventional offset. We do large and small format digital printing, flex photographic printing, and continuous gem photographic imaging. Our retail solutions. We provide retail environment design. This includes an entire environment of a retail store or a remodel. We provide the store decor, which includes the signage and the graphics. And we also do custom store fixtures. And that could be fabricated of wood, plastic, laminate, glass, metal, or wire. Our merchandising solutions. Our custom merchandising displays. KDM has an experienced 3D structural design and manufacturing team. We do temporary, semi-permanent, and permanent solutions. And that could be manufactured of corrugate, foam board, plastic, wood, metal, glass, and wire. And our branding solutions. Our brand promotional products help execute marketing goals and extend the brand's reach. This includes indoor and outdoor branded solutions, add specialty items like buttons or balloons. We also supply apparel, which could be like shirts or hats. And finally, technology solutions. We're talking about blending print with technology today, and the first one I want to talk about is quick response or QR codes. At KDM, we see QR codes being used by retailers and our consumer packaged goods brands to offer shoppers things like coupons, surveys, sweepstakes entry, video, a mobile site with games, downloadable apps, or any other content appropriate to the campaign. The QR codes are very simple to generate and easy to include as part of the artwork on the printed piece. Internally, our salespeople include a QR code with their contact information on their business card. This allows the user to add them to their address book. We also provide QR codes to help our customers track their packages and verify the contents. We call this intelligent tracking. Here's some examples of QR codes in the convenience store sector. We're printing QR codes on pump decals that allow the consumer to pay at the pump via PayPal instead of swiping their credit cards. This is fairly new, actually. We also do QR codes as part of a loyalty card program, which gives them instant coupons off of gas. The QR codes are scanned for weekly specials, illustrated in that first image on the top. This entices them to come inside for groceries or for lunch. The QR codes on the counter map, advertising now hiring, extends them to a career page to complete a job application online. In the home improvement sector, lots of QR codes. Those are being used to provide shoppers a product demo video, highlight a product feature or benefit, and also to provide coupons. Some of our beverage brand manufacturers, we'll see them providing the codes to enter a sweepstakes or, again, provide coupons. Lastly, this automotive aftermarket retailer with illustrated on the bottom here, the QR codes printed on the tire inserts and also on the counter mats with the tire warranty protection information. So you can see it's very, very varied what we're doing there.
Maureen, I've got a quick question for you before we move on. With all these applications that you're doing, what kind of infrastructure are you providing to the client to either capture data, or is the agency doing that work? Who's got the role and responsibility in terms of data capture?
The data capture that we work with mostly would come from the actual customer, because our customers have job titles like marketing managers and creative directors, people like that. So they spend, obviously, with these types of companies, a great deal of time, you know, in the data capture. We have not been asked. We don't offer that respect of it.
Okay. Great.
They
Thanks.
Handle that internally. Yeah, sure. No problem. So I'll move on to number two, the augmented reality, or AR. It's quite a bit different how we see that being used. They're mostly engaging customers by offering the wow factor, with the ability to superimpose a 3D digital graphic onto a real-life object, like the POP materials itself, the displays, or the packaging. Most of the applications that we have seen have been game-oriented. Here's an example from a quick-serve restaurant. We printed these 6-foot-tall Spider-Man standees, instructing the consumer to download the Amazing Spider-Man app on their phone. They then scanned the image to see the hero swinging into action in 3D. The QSR chain was one of 13 different retailers participating in the movie promotion with a different animated mission to unlock.
Hey, Maureen, I got another question. Another question that came in for you. Now, so when you're printing the augmented reality posters, what software tools are in use to do that? How do you do that?
For us, it all comes in the art file. So it all has to do with how it's being submitted to us. It takes for us to regenerate that or regurgitate that is what I should say. Basically, we're just regurgitating in an art file.
Okay.
Okay.
Got it. Yep. Thank you.
I don't personally know the specifics of how that happens, but
that's all right.
I'm sure you could find that information. Yeah. So I was going to share a couple of the other applications that we've seen, but I don't have pictures of. One was a floor graphic that you can scan it, and a big, giant 3D pot of gold appears, and that was for a spirits beverage company. Another example was a cereal box packaging to see the characters jump off the box. We haven't really printed that many AR images to date, so we don't see a lot of these retailers and brands using this technology in the print media. But it's very easy, like I said, to include the image on the artwork. We're simply regurgitating it. But developing the application would definitely be handled by our customers. We don't offer that service. I just found some good examples online, if anybody wants to check it out, of how the AR is being used at retail. That's this website there. The last thing I want to talk about was near-field communications, or NFC. They're called chips or tags, and they're very, very different from the other two in that they don't require the user to download an application or scan anything. The short-range radio frequency actually provides a wireless interaction if you're within range, which is about 2 inches, and then your device will automatically read it. The NFC has really taken off in other countries like Europe and Asia and Sweden, and it can be used to collect shopper insights as well. So you could provide a more personal shopping experience, such as knowing the dress size or the shoe size before they enter the store. KVM has actually not been asked to provide any NFC tags on any of the POP displays, labels, or packaging yet. I can see that coming very soon. Examples that I've personally seen at retail, you can tap a beverage coaster, and you can actually see the NFL scores in real time. So I could see that would be maybe important if you were a spirits beverage company. I tap a recipe card in the grocery, and the location of all the ingredients are mapped out within the store aisle. You could tap a wine bottle label and see the origin and history of where the wine was made. I think that's pretty nifty. I found this white paper called Mobile NFC in Retail, and it explains how NFC technology could really transform retail. One thing of note, the NFC technology is currently available on all new Droid phones, and if you're not sure if you have it or not, you just go to your phone settings, and you select More, and then you'll see NFC there, and then you've got it. You don't have to download anything. So blending print with technology in store and why this is important to our customers, I'll share some stats with you. There's 30,000 SKUs introduced every year. The consumers are hit with 3,000 messages every day from all the marketing channels, and it really just takes 3 seconds to make an impact in store. Google says 1 in 3 people are using their smartphones while shopping in a physical store to get more information. They're checking prices, they're finding promotions, reading product reviews, or getting product information. I recently got to hear this gentleman speak, the global director at Saatchi & Saatchi, and he says that technology combined with emotional insight enables us to connect with people. The need for innovation will be very critical for our customers in order to make it easier for consumers to buy, because that's really what it's all about. The brands will be able to use technology, or should be and can use technology, as a marketing stimulus to engage the shoppers in all the clutter and stand out at the shelf. And we see the retailers being able to use technology to create a seamless in-store shopping experience by kind of bridging the gap between their in-store and online presence. And that is all I have to say.
I got a couple more questions that came in. The first one, and let me just ask this, is somebody asked about the approximate cost of an NFC chip. And I don't know what you've seen relative to NFC chips, but they go someplace between a nickel and a quarter, and you can actually order them online. So if you Google and you say, I want to order NFC chips or NFC tag, you can actually order them online. I don't know, Deborah, have you ordered any of them at all for your business?
We have not. We have not been asked
to. I'm sorry, Maureen. But you have not been asked to, Maureen? Okay. Now, the next thing, and somebody asked the question about the Apple phones. The Apple phones, there is a mechanism to do NFC reading. You've got to download an app, but they are not natively enabled like the Droid phones are.
No.
You know, the question is, and I think the jury is still out relative to what's going on relative to the marketplace. Now, one other question for you, Maureen. Go ahead, Maureen.
I'm just going to add to that. As far as I understand with the Apple, they're kind of holding back to they're producing their own kind of NFC, and it'll have a much wider range, and I think they're calling it iWatch. But that hasn't happened yet, but they're working on it.
Yeah. And then the other question that I got, Maureen, for you is, did KDM propose the augmented reality approach, or was that something that the buyer came up with?
The buyers came up with it. The buyer meaning the marketing department of the company, it was actually Hardee's. And with the movie promotion with, you know, the Spider-Man movie.
Perfect. Okay. Well, now, with that as a backdrop, what I'm going to do now is I am going to take it and I'm going to turn it over to Nick from Fast Signs. And by the way, I want to make sure everybody understands we're getting two very different perspectives today. KDM's been in a very large format sign business for a very long time, as is Fast Signs. Fast Signs has a franchise network, and I know that Nick is going to take you through that. And then Val is going to give you the perspective on large format from a traditional commercial print point of view. So with that, I am going to turn it over to Nick. Nick, take it away.
Great. Thank you very much. So as I said, my name is Nick Jerome. I'm really the more than products manager here at Fast Signs. And I think this is very relevant to what we're talking about today. We'll kind of let you in on what more than means to Fast Signs. So Fast Signs has 545 locations worldwide. We're in 8 countries. We see $330 million in network sales each year. We're really a business-to-business franchise. We've received awards for highest franchisee satisfaction, which is really, really important to us, and highest average volume in our category. Go. It caught up to me. So our 4 key objectives really at Fast Signs are to increase our franchise partners' profitability by 50% in 2015, increase our average center volume to $1 million by 2015, increase the value of the brand, and I really think if we do all 3 of those things that we'll meet our 4th objective, which is to increase franchise partner satisfaction. Really, this focus has resulted in the highest franchise satisfaction ratings and ranking number 1 in our category, Entrepreneur Magazine, for the past 3 years. So I want to talk just briefly about the Fast Signs brand. We really break up our offerings into 3 categories: visibility strategies, project services, and product solutions. I think you'll see illustrated by our icons the way that we break it down, and you'll notice that interactive and digital has its own icon, as well as consulting and content development. And I really think this all rings true with the offerings and the solutions that we're talking about today. So we really take these seriously. So to talk a bit about who our target market is, we really serve all industries. Our top 5 highest volume industries are manufacturing, construction, education, healthcare, and retail. Really, in serving these industries, we're more than just fast, and we're more than just signs, and I think that's where the more than really, really comes from. We're a visual idea company. Our centers really have marketing savvy consultants, creating solutions for a wide array of challenges, so customers can ultimately increase their business visibility and reach more of their end users and accomplish more than they really thought possible, especially when dealing with Fast Signs.
Hey, Nick, I do have a quick question for you. You talk a bit about the consulting side of it that you're dealing with. What types of resources, when you define consultants, do you have in place? And then that's the first question. And then where do you find that more consultative type resource?
So when I refer to us as consultants, it really goes back to our sales process. We don't want to just answer the phone and take an order from a customer. We really want to come out and meet with you, sit down, understand your business objectives. You know, we understand some folks just want to order signs, graphics, have their vehicle wrapped, things like that. But when we're talking about the solutions that are the topic here today, we want to sit down and say, okay, you want to print this QR code on some graphics or signage. That's great. We want to actually scan the QR code, make sure it's going to a mobile location, and if not, offer our services to really make the engagement with the end user more powerful. So it really comes down to offering that consultation to our customers for us to come in, look at the event, look at what they're doing, and put together the messaging and the signs and graphics that are going to kind of tie together and create a comprehensive solution. Of course, our larger customers that may work with an ad agency or something like that, we wouldn't be as much offering consulting services, but we really find a niche in the small and medium-sized business, let's say 50 to 500-employee businesses, that aren't always working with a huge agency, and it's great for them to have a resource like us to come in and consult with them on new innovative ways to communicate their messages.
Great, thanks.
No problem. So this slide here is really a case study, and most people know that Fast Signs offers banners, posters, traditional signs and things like that, but we also offer mobile website design, vehicle graphics. You'll see the one here has a QR code on it, wall wraps, and more, and really a lot of interesting applications that you may not think of, including more art, stretch canvas, things like that. This is another comprehensive solution image that we like to use. This case study really paints a picture of a comprehensive solution and the ways our consultants can make an event successful. Everything that you see here in full color is something that Fast Signs can do for our end user or for our customer. You know, you may come in and ask for a banner, but we want to consult with you on the best ways to communicate with event attendees, like I said, really understanding the objective here and making it a unique experience for everybody. I really love this particular project that one of our centers did in Durango, Colorado. So digital signage is really important, and it's an offering that we understand is necessary in the marketplace, and it can be very interactive as well. So it's really understanding that need to make have marketing messages in a static and dynamic format that's changing with motion, maybe it's touch screen. And this is just a project I wanted to share in the Durango Regional Airport. If you've gone through there, not only did we put a video wall in and sell advertising, but the franchise partner in that location also wrapped the wall behind it and created a really fun experience when you're standing there waiting for your luggage. So in regards to QR and 2D barcodes, you know, most people understand the importance of going mobile. We not only offer the QR codes, and when QR codes were really gaining traction in the last few years, we looked at it and said, definitely we're going to print those on signs, we're going to incorporate them into the designs and graphics we do, but we want to take it a step further. This is kind of a fun example for a bar and grill that was done up in Wisconsin, but taking the QR code and our graphic designers really made it look like a beer glass, right? But having enough contrast so that it's easy to scan, and really looking at the total package. So when somebody scans it, where is it going? And this is a service that we offer to our customers as well. This is kind of where I want to talk about near-field communication. We've gone through some of that. The technology is really allowing you to add the inexpensive chip to your sign or graphics and really make it interactive. And I've seen this at the Dallas-Fort Worth Airport as well. I believe it might have been Samsung where you walked up to the display and touched your Android device to it, and all of a sudden you downloaded some music. So really took what could be a simple print piece when you're walking by, and it had that call to action to grab you, and then you're walking away with a piece of their brand, which is just so powerful. So when we talk about extending your reach, engagement shouldn't be limited to those with smartphones. I know I have a smartphone, but there's bound to be somebody on this call that doesn't, right? So SMS text message marketing can be utilized by all cell phone users. The value in these campaigns is to leverage our inclination to grab our phones when a text goes off, to give people important information, whether it's alerts, offers from a business or organization, or whoever they choose to follow. And I think who they choose to follow is really the key word there. It's not invasive. It's really an opt-in program. And I do want to point out here, in case anybody's operating this type of a program, that there are new guidelines that were set forth by the Telephone Consumer Protection Act that requires a double opt-in for text message marketing campaigns. So an example of that would be, you see here we've got a pizza restaurant. If I sent a text of the keyword hot pizza to that short code and I got the message back, before the message would just say, thank you for joining our club. Now it has to say, are you sure or do you want to join our text message club, in which case you would reply yes or no to ultimately have two opt-ins to the campaign. And that's really fighting against spam messages where people go out and opt in a group of purchase phone numbers to a campaign. It's really preventing that from happening. So it was really a good change. That went into effect April 16th of this year. So just check into that if that's a campaign that you're running right now and you weren't aware of that. So the mind-bending technology that is augmented reality, right? I mean, this is really cutting edge, and it's a way to bring print to life or add a virtual tour guide or salesperson to the situation. I think it works best with a captive audience. So you're walking into a museum, exhibit, attraction, so that somebody can kind of explain the process to you before you go in and experience the artwork or the rides or whatever it happens to be. There's a little bit of a barrier in place having to download an augmented reality app, but I think those that do download it are ultimately going to have a great experience. We have a center that's really having a great time with augmented reality. They're creating some of this for their customers, and as a network, it's something that we can offer to our customers if it's the right fit for their event or for their needs. So in conclusion, you know, for us, for Fast Signs, selling these types of interactive marketing solutions are really about adding value to our customer, differentiating ourselves as a service provider, not just taking orders, but really taking it a step further. Also, higher margins, right? We're all interested in that. And the reoccurring revenue stream that it creates. And I really wanted to touch on that. So rather than simply one and done, somebody comes in, we produce a great event, putting out signage and graphics and wrapping golf carts and things like that, but we want that reoccurring revenue stream that comes from digital signage, interactive marketing, text message marketing, these ongoing services. And even like text message marketing, it's a great way to tie yourself with your customer. If you're managing it for them like we do, it really helps tie you to the customer. You have some of their database information, phone numbers, you're executing the campaign for them, and really you become a trusted partner and not just a provider or a vendor for them.
Now, before I let you off the hook here, Nick, I've got a couple questions for you from the audience as well, and I've got a couple of quick comments. On the QR codes, one of our participants, And I think I have an answer for this, but I thought I'd ask you, and you may or may not know. If you don't, I know Val will. But is there a specific resolution that a QR code should be printed in to be readable and accessible on a cell phone?
You know, I don't know that I know the resolution off the top of my head, but I know that we actually have a formula that we provide to our franchise system when it comes to what size it should be, so how tall and wide it should be. So that when you notice in the graphic we had of the van, it was fairly large because the viewing distance may be 20 feet away. So it's really important. You can find that on the web as well, that formula.
Okay.
Found it a couple years ago, but that's helpful for us.
Okay. And then I have two other comments. And, you know, Nick raised a couple of good examples on the signage. On the augmented reality side of it, if any of you go to Macy's, several of the Macy's stores have floor graphics. And what you do is you get your son or your daughter, your granddaughter or grandson to stand in a specific spot, and the floor graphic has markers on it that pop to life. And you can take their picture with some of the Macy characters. So it's a pretty cool use of signage that extends the value of the Macy's brand while you're in the store. Then I have to give one other example. I was shopping with my 16-year-old granddaughter, and Nick, you raised a very valid point in terms of the double opt-in. What they had was they had a graphic in front of the Gap, a sign, and it said, you know, text this number to become to access our access coupons for our VIP club. But they were very good about it because what they did then is they said, are you sure you want to be part, you know, would you like to be part of our VIP club? So she double opted in, and she got her coupon, but she also then opted in for their VIP club. So it was you know, pretty powerful in terms of the way that they handled it. Now, I have one other quick question that just came in for you, Nick, and that's I think you answered this, but let's go through this one more time, which is you mentioned for the smaller businesses that you were providing back-end development support. Could you explain what kinds of support you're providing to people that want to make those signs interactive?
So the support is really on a case-by-case basis. If a customer came in, and let's say they're a local restaurant with maybe 10 locations, and they wanted to make signage interactive, or we talked to them and we brought it up to make their signage more interactive. You know, we would start with obviously asking the right questions, really understanding the objective and not just printing it and trusting that, you know, it's going to go to the right place. But, you know, we have third-party vendors that can develop responsive websites, mobile websites that link to the QR codes, and all these different things have different levels of tracking. I know with text message marketing campaigns, one of our centers could manage that campaign for a business, or a portal could be turned over to a customer to manage their campaigns if it was something they needed to send things out on a consistent basis. It's really kind of up to the situation what level of involvement we have on the back end with managing the data or executing the campaign for the customer. Not sure. Does that answer the question?
I think so, yeah. Now, with that, what I am going to do, though, is I'm going to then turn over to Val DiGiacinto, and Val's going to give his perspective as the president of Express Printing Services, what he sees taking place in the marketplace. And so with that, Val, I'm going to turn it over to you.
Thanks so much, Barb, and great job, Maureen and Nick. Hopefully what I have to show now will kind of tie everything together and from a perspective of a full-service printing company. So Express Printing Services is what it says. It's a full-service printing company. We do use some strategic partners to accomplish some of the things that we can't do in-house. Not every company can do everything for everybody, so we feel this is a great opportunity for us to bring together a small group of people to help us accomplish those tasks. But one of the things that I've incorporated into the company and my previous company has been QR codes and mobile marketing campaigns. One of the main reasons I did it, I discovered it in the visit to Japan many years ago, before it was at this country. And when I came back, I just knew things were going to happen here. So we spent about a year developing our back-end system and our go-to-market strategy. And then when we launched it, we kind of went out and told people about QR codes because not too many people really understood it at the time. Today, it's just something that almost everybody understands, although there are some concerns about the way they're being used and the adaptation, some of the things that we'll talk about today. But what it does for us is it allows us to speak to a different group of people, not just the print providers or our print brokers or people that we're dealing with within organizations, the print buyers, but it allows us to get into marketing people and some of the C-level people by extending emails to them and phone calls that when they hear about QR codes and some of the other attributes that we can bring to the table, they do see us and sometimes very quickly. So let's take a look at some of the things that we want to talk about. One of the things that we've noticed is that creating a brand of the QR code increases scan rates by up to 25% or more. People feel more comfortable scanning it because it is tied to usually the ad or the placement of the QR code itself. So I'm just going to breeze through a couple of them just to let you see the one before, obviously, said Maxim. This was a QR code that was used for Spider-Man 3 that brought up a movie trailer. Next one is for Nespresso. It's the you can see it, how you can be very creative in some of the ways that you can put that together. It actually says Nespresso down in the center there. Next one is for Quicksilver, and again, you know, the, having the brand itself show up on the on this part of it is, was very helpful. Iron Man 3, very discernible, I think, when you see it right away, and brought you again to a movie trailer. Verizon, and even some that are not so easy to see. So if you take a look down in this, where the salt spilled, there's a QR code down there that was very scannable. And although this was used in some of our earlier campaigns, it was specific to a nightclub down in Miami that they felt most of the people that would be attending would be smartphone people who understood what a QR code was at that point and would be willing to look for it and find it and think it was a cool thing for them to be able to use. One of the biggest things that we discovered early on was that social media really needed to play an enormous part of what the results of QR code campaigns and mobile campaigns can provide. So today, you know, social media obviously is the thing. In some cases, that's the only way I communicate with some of my – I actually have a client that I communicate with only through Facebook, and I find it amazing, but it's the way things are happening today. But it does add legacy to a campaign, and this is a campaign that perhaps some of you have seen in the past, but this was for Calvin Klein. And quick story, we had seen a QR code at the very bottom of a phone kiosk not far from my office in New York, and it was about an inch tall at the bottom of a bus shelter, I'm sorry, and I actually got down on my knees to be able to scan the code, and the code didn't work. That prompted me to send an email out to the Calvin Klein, the parent company, and explain the concern and just say that, you know, we think we might have a way to solve some of the problems that they might be having with that particular QR code campaign. Within a week, we had gone in to see the vice president of marketing. Following week, we had a meeting with Calvin Klein themselves, and the following week we actually signed the contract. So within 3 weeks from the time we saw the problem and contacted them, we were actually working on this big campaign. This is a wallscape down on Houston and Lafayette Street in New York City. This is 70 feet across, and this QR code is the largest, still to my knowledge, in the U.S., not in the world. Could be scanned from easily over a block and a half away, and you could scan it through things like the light pole and the street light and the wires that are going across it as well. Now, Calvin, all they wanted to do specifically was to have this be used from a mobile application. So even if you went to your desktop, it would tell you to just scan the code that would come up on your desktop, and if you needed to, download the app to your mobile phone. So when you scanned the code from that wallscape, it would come up with the configuration you see here. And all you could do is play a video, which was somewhat pornographic a little bit. But this location down here was bought by Calvin Klein, and they actually always had controversy about the types of ads that were up on that wallscape. So you could either play the video, you could share it on Facebook, or share it on Twitter. And, you know, some of the – kind of jumped ahead on that one, sorry. But that's one of the three things that you could do. This is a very unusual pie chart showing the results of this process. If you look at the one wedge that was 6.1%, that's the house in Lafayette. That had gotten the most hits from the scans of the other locations that you could have. And if you look on the legend on the right, you'll see it was 10th Avenue. 20th Street had a billboard. New York City had some wild postings. And Sunset Boulevard in California had another billboard. But social media was a big part of this through Facebook, Twitter, and just things that were found on the Internet. So the collateral itself was only up for 3 weeks. But the scans were made every day for 2.5 years after, and that's 2.5 years after the collateral went down. We were still getting scans from people who were seeing this on either Facebook, Twitter, or on the Internet. And those scan numbers were up in the seven figures. So another example is MasterCard Marketplace. They were introducing the process of MasterCard and SunTrust being moving over to MasterCard as their primary provider at that point. And this consisted of a number of different processes. If you can see on the left-hand side, the young girl taking her photo there, that's a 25-foot-high tricycle, and there's a hang tag on the left of it that has a QR code. And on the right-hand side, there's a few pictures. The top one is as you're going down into the subway system and five different markets. There were station dominations, so they took over the entire stations in the subways. And, yes, QR codes can work in the subway depending on what the services are, but even if you don't have service, if you scan it with an iPhone, for example, once you pop up above ground and get service again, it'll actually continue the process so that it does work even if you don't have service. There were bus shelters above ground as well as underground. The next photo is a picture of another type of large prop. It's a 20-foot-wide camera with a hang tag on it again. And then the bottom shot is just a picture of the QR code over to the left. So MasterCard, we supply them with micro-encoded QR codes on various types of outdoor processes in five different markets, mostly in the South. The campaigns gave the users the ability to scan it, and then they were shown the overwhelming offer of the day from MasterCard. There was a short period of time that they were able to actually catch that offer, and it became just crazy how many people got involved and tried to get the offer. Usually within 30 seconds, everything was gone. 20% of the total participants submitted consumer data to follow through with the process. And MasterCard, after analyzing the metrics at the end of the process, felt they had an overall lift of almost 40% over the expected traditional type of campaign they would have produced. So the results were really outstanding. This one is for WWE. It was a number of different campaigns, probably 7, 8, 9 different campaigns, both for some of their movies that they promoted with stars from the WWE, as well as the actual things like SummerSlam. You know, if anybody's into wrestling out there, you'll know what I'm talking about. And these posters, point of sale, were put up at every WWE event with QR codes to allow people to know what the upcoming process was going to be. They had some things with the movies as well, where there were life-size stands of the different wrestlers, and they were holding a cube that looked like a QR code, and you could scan the code from them as well. Again, big lifts from it, and just the process of being able to bring the type of technology to the WWE was something that they were really excited about. Next campaign is for premium outlets. These are ones you see around the country. They have them every place around the country. And it consisted of ads in daily newspapers as well as point of sale at the actual malls themselves. It gave you coupons. It gave you directions to the malls. It gave you what kind of percentages the stores were offering, what stores were available in all of those malls as well, and where the nearest premium outlet was for you as well. One of the things that, and that's what Barbara's talking about earlier, you know, supplying a marketing metric portal that's available to your customer is very important as well, that has some of the things that you can take automatically from just when the QR code is scanned, and then if there's entry by the consumers to be able to grab that information as well, and to be able to graphically show that information and build it as it continues to move as a live campaign. And this information is available starting from the day the campaign actually goes live. What it does is it gives you the opportunity to analyze the campaign in real time. And, you know, if there are concerns, sometimes you can get some drop points and some issues where people are coming to a particular part of the campaign and in the mobile device, and you find a drop point, maybe something isn't explained right, or perhaps they think they have to submit an email address when they don't. People will, not without knowing what they're going to get for that email, sometimes will just skip it and go away. So we can fix that by looking at it and analyzing it. And then most of our customers have asked us at the end of the process to provide the metrics back to them as analytics, so we can show them what kind of forks developed, what kind of people reached the ultimate goal, how many people reached towards that goal, what we could do to send out some additional multi-channel marketing to bring those people to the final event. So there's so much opportunity. I look at these numbers here. You know, the national average for direct mail is 1.7%. So the response rates are really extremely low. There's a lift rate from those 1.7% responses of about 17.5%. So that means for every 1,000 pieces that are mailed out for direct mail, you can expect 3 conversions, and that's not necessarily guaranteed. Intelligent direct mail can increase them dramatically, and by that I mean if instead of sending out 10,000 pieces, we actually will suggest to some of our clients that we only send out 5,000 pieces. All of those will include things like QR codes and social media as well. But the ability to add some of the capabilities that you can have from point of sale when somebody literally walks in the store is really dramatic, and that's the last one that I want to talk about. So this is for Mandy stores. They're predominant in the East Coast. They go as far out, I think, as Ohio. And there's a total of 115 stores in all. And this is there were 2 different versions of a point-of-sale poster that we produced. They called it the Mystery Sale, and it was around it was the week before Black Friday. So it went up the Saturday and the Sunday prior to Thanksgiving. And what you did was scan the code, and you could get up to a 50% discount on all the products that you were purchasing right there at the store on that day. It was a one-time code. We actually processed it that way, so once it was used, you couldn't use it again. So you would scan this code, and you would get a response on your phone or tablet that looked like this, requiring your email to be added in order to get the code. And once you did, you would get back either a 20%, a 30%, or a 50% coupon that was, again, for everything that you're purchasing in the store while you were in there. So really a high incentive, I think, for people to offer up an email address in order to get a really good deal for the day. And here's some of the results that we actually had when we were working towards that process and then the follow-up. So it was 115 different Mandy stores with POSs in each one of them. It was a Saturday before, as I mentioned. The scan rates were in the 5 digits, and it was in excess of 40,000. Mandy actually had a limit on it on how many they wanted to put out. There were also algorithms that we had built to put out X number of 50%, X number of 30%, and X number of 20% coupons. The conversion rate was a little bit over 92%. That means over 92% of the people that scanned the QR code while they were in store submitted their email address and then followed through to the cash register to utilize it. It's an extraordinary amount of usage, but again, it was highly motivated. They also shared it on Facebook and Twitter, and they could email a friend about the promotion since it was for 2 days and those people were allowed to come down. Then, you know, they were suggesting might be a good time if you're thinking about buying something from Mandy to come down and do this. Their sales were up significantly during that two-day period. We were able to add the conversions to a follow-up email campaign from that point forward, which is a big part of what they wanted was to get new email information for people. And then one of the things that Mandy did that we suggested and we were actually assisted with was to have a phone training session with the sales associates who were out in the store just to be sure that everybody understood what they were going to do, how they were going to do it, and to assist some of those customers that might not have had the experience with the QR code. So basically, cross-media marketing, I think, is summed up in one quick sentence. You know, the release of personalized multi-channel marketing processes within a specific time frame based on a consumer's unique interaction and response to that call of action. The things that you can develop from the metrics that we gather and the follow-up analytics and including the real-time analytics that we can that start to develop from what people are doing within the campaign can help to generate additional multi-channel marketing. So we can go in based on what message we want to send out. We might have an email campaign going out to the three different groups that developed within the scanning process and what they were able to do and what they did or did not do based on the process we hoped that they would follow. We might follow up with an email to them, one group suggesting that they maybe try again, and or is there something else that we can offer? We may go with a direct marketing campaign as well to go along with that, to try to follow up with the people who have gone through the process but maybe didn't complete it the way we had hoped. And with that, my part is done, and I think we're going to continue on in a little bit.
Yeah, you got it, Val. I'm going to give everybody a minute or two more. I've got a few questions coming in, but I'm just going to wrap up with a couple final thoughts. And that is, you've heard from our speakers today, and what we're seeing is that signage has become integral to every facet of marketing. First of all, you know, it's the Christmas season, so we're all out doing a little more shopping than we normally would. But I've been through Best Buys and Costco's, and what they've done is they've used the signage, blending it with either things like NFC tags or QR codes to educate, inform, and generate new buying experiences. They're making it simple to use, and you saw examples in terms of buying gas, where that individual can now buy on the run. They're using it to make buying fun and make it into shoppertainment. They're using it to make it easy and convenient to make a decision. And they're using signage blended with mobile technology to really make the brand much more memorable. And so those are all things that I think you heard from our speakers today. I want to wrap up. I've got a couple more questions that came in, and I'm going to open it to all three panelists. Basically, but one of the things that came back, and Maureen, you mentioned that, you know, a lot of your customers came to you with finished product, and you were, in fact, actually producing it. Val and Nick, you kind of indicated that you've got some infrastructure. I'm going to ask Val this question. Val, what kind of infrastructure should a signage company or a commercial printer that's getting into signage invest in to do more of the value add when I'm blending signage with mobile? What kind of resources or skills do you need?
Well, I think, you know, obviously if you have a IT person that understands mobile as well, and it has to be you have to have some design capability. What we're offering to our clients is a QR code that's branded and designed specifically for them. We're offering them the metrics capture so that they can go online 24/7, and then we're offering them the analytic part of it that allows us the ability to follow up with additional types of campaigns or just to analyze how the campaign did and what they may be able to do in the future. So it'll take a couple of three people on staff. Or I don't see any reason why some people wouldn't want to go out and partner with some of the companies and vendors that are out there today that are offering some outstanding services that would do that for you rather than having to go out, make the hire, make the investment if you don't need that talent in-house to begin with.
Okay. And I'm going to just check one more time on Q&A. We've got another minute left and see what else came in. I do have a question that I want to direct to all three of you that came in. What do you see as you look at the signage side of it? And I'm going to start with Maureen on this one. What do you see relative to the future in terms of blending the technology? And just kind of a one- or two-sentence response. And I'm going to ask, I'll start with Maureen. Maureen, what do you see from a futuristic perspective for your business as you look at what's going on with the technology?
Well, we're talking about blending technology with print today. I mean, there's obviously other technologies that, you know, some of our customers are using, and Nick alluded to that with the digital signage. But I really think NFC has a whole lot of potential. It just has not caught on here in the United States as it has elsewhere. But if you do get a chance to check out that a mobile NFC in retail, it's amazing how it really could transform retail. Us being a flexographic printing company, you know, with that services on hand too, I wouldn't see why we wouldn't be heading that direction, but I can't speak for the president of the company. I'm just in marketing. So that's what I see.
Okay. And I'm going to ask you, Nick, where do you see a lot of this combining technology taking fast signs?
You know, I think for us it's really about making sure that the message that a customer wants, I guess it's about making sure the customer knows all the ways that their message can be pushed out to their end user. So for us, you know, whether it's QR codes today or it's near field communication tomorrow, we just want to make sure as a franchisor that we're staying on top of what are these cutting edge technologies, making sure that we have the resources in place to provide anything and everything related to them for our end user. But we really want to be the educational force behind it, because we've noticed that a lot of these things can be done at a low cost or no cost, like generating QR codes with tracking ability. Customers can do that on their own. They just don't know that they can do it. And for us to add that value and do it for them and roll it into the total solution, it just really ties us to them and makes for a nice piece.
Great. And Val, where do you see this all going? You've been around a bit.
Yeah, I've been around for a little bit. Yeah, you know, one of the great things is I keep in touch with a few organizations in Japan. I've had them here. We've discussed the way things are going, because I think Japan really, it gives us a little bit of a futuristic view of what where things are going. As Maureen mentioned, NFC has become huge in Japan and in Asia in general. It's the phone technology again. That's the reason why we were so far behind Asia and Europe in adapting QR codes, for example. Our phone technology was just horrible in comparison. They are so far ahead of us still today. It's frustrating to me, but it does give us that opportunity to see where they are. Many people in Asia actually carry two phones, a cheap NFC phone that they can get, and they use that every day for mobile type of processes, like they walk through the subway systems and they just bump and run. You've seen some of those pushers on subway cars. You know, there's a big population there, so it's an easy access to that type of process. And I think, like Nick said, I think it's the ability to be able to take the message and bring it to life, allow people to interact with what was once just a message that was a push message, a message that goes out to whether it's at point of sale or in locations where you can view that particular message, and now allows people to become interactive with it and be able to pull back and start a dialogue with the company. To me, that's the biggest advantage that they have, and I think to provide the services is the smartest thing that we can all do.
Great. Well, I'd like to thank our panelists very much and thank all of you for joining us today. There will be a version of this available on the Printing Impressions website, and so again, thanks for joining us, and guys, thanks for a great presentation. Have a great rest of the day.